Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile.
With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Winning is an everyday mindset, and we're here to help. I'm Craig Robinson. Join me and Coach John Calipari for Ways to Win. We're kicking off during March Madness. Cal's Kentucky Wildcats are in the hunt. So throughout the tournament, I'm going to call up my friend to ask about his wins, losses, and especially what he's telling his players in the locker room.
You got to win every day.
Find the Ways to Win podcast anywhere you listen.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
My brain's not completely broken.
Look, I know how to kill. You just let me kill.
Sure thing, buddy.
Oh, my brain.
I got you, Doran.
Bluff, return, serve.
Ooh.
Boo, no mage of mine.
Doran, get out of here.
Oh, no, too dark. No, Doran, he didn't mean that one.
Just hold on. I'm going to scoot out of the way so we don't injure our friend.
Oh, gosh.
I admit I didn't think it all the way through. I'd hoped I'd have some time to run.
Call him Daddy, Jack. It helps, Doran.
I don't have time for your shit anymore.
Holy
crap!
Did not expect that.
Whoa, Alistair!
Welcome back to Dice Shame. This is Season 2, Episode 78, Hang by a Thread.
MVP this week is Seer of Time, who's been active in the Discord and also loves most of the projects we've been working on. Thank you so much, Seer of Time, for being a part of this community. You're this week's MVP.
Thanks, Seer of Time. All right, should we do it?
Yeah, let's do it.
Woo!
If you were transported 400 years into the past, with no clothes or anything like that, how would you prove you're from the future?
Oh, shit.
And they're like, we're going to burn you. And you're like, I'm from the future. And you have to prove it. What do you say?
Me and Nersal,
what do you do?
And I are fucked.
Yeah. I'm just accepting death and just yep. moving on.
Anything we could do, they'd just be like, witch! I don't know enough about like how to prove my knowledge.
Well, that's the trouble, right? Yeah. Like, do you go to... Like, obviously, science has come a far way.
I was just about to say, I'd start pulling out scientific stuff.
Like what?
I'd be like, all right.
Alex is on the podium.
Okay.
The people are standing around. Prove it!
Okay. I know science. Now.
What science? What is that?
It's 1624. It's not. They know what science is.
Nope.
And have some opinions about it.
My person I was being doesn't.
I would probably do something like.
Didn't know.
Okay, you know, maybe tell what could happen with, let's say, electricity, for example. Maybe they're using it already.
Not in the 1600s.
400 years ago. Then I could find. I would be like, give me a week, and I will create. Electricity.
Oh Hold on. So for 1 week, Alex Guthrie in the 1600s is going to do what to prove electricity?
Well, I'd probably do a few things. Number one, I'd probably build a bike, you know, even if out of wood. The perpetual motion, or not the perpetual, but the motion I create, you know, I would have to get magnets and some metal.
Where are you going
to
find magnets?
I could build an electric motor.
You believe, hold on, you believe you could build an electric motor in 1 week 400 years ago?
Yes.
No one else is going to say anything about this.
I can't. I won't.
Rob, please.
Well, no, I'm just looking up because I think William Gilbert had already done that in the 1624s.
William already did that.
But
prove it again.
I might get burned, but that would be my attempt anyways.
I'd start beatboxing.
I'd tell them you're from the future, but I've already had my head caved in with a rock.
Yeah.
There's a living Greenland shark that is believed to be like 400 plus years old. You could go
find him.
Just go find this shark.
Listen,
she could.
I know a shark.
I know her in the future.
Hold on, guys.
I just got to go back to
creating something like a paper airplane. As simple as that to show.
But would that prove you're from the future?
I think with enough time, you start to build it. Yeah.
You could present it in a way.
Man, I would need like a fucking week to prep for this shit. I'd be like, okay, give me a week and then send me back. And then because I need to like study up.
Yeah, but you just, okay, you're wearing what you're wearing now.
Yeah.
Maybe that's
look
a little
at this
added
fucking
incentive.
Label. Do you think this is made? Yeah. Damn. You know how much this shit costs?
Look at these headphones.
Do you see this fashion?
Yeah. No, or even something like, you know, look at who I am.
See how different I look? I'm from the future.
People probably wouldn't be as healthy.
Everyone look at my shit. It's going to prove I'm from the future.
Yeah.
Actually, it's not bad.
Different shit, guys. How would you do it, Harlan?
Oh, I mean, pull up my phone, obviously.
Tech doesn't work.
He said you weren't wearing
your clothes.
I said no clothes
or anything else.
Didn't say you couldn't shove your phone up your ass.
How would I do it? It's a great question. I mean, yeah, probably like
threaten to beat people up if they don't believe you.
Yeah.
Use brute force.
Don't believe me?
From the future. Trust me.
I mean, modern music would be pretty convincing. It would sound so
Yeah, I would just
strange.
Start singing some Beatles.
Songs.
Yesterday.
That people had never heard before. And
Which?
Had no.
It's the plot of that movie. You just come in with Beatles songs, but now they're from the 1600s.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Amazing. We take the plot of yesterday and put it in the 1600s.
Modern anatomy was just barely being like it was right on its threshold. So
give
that
me
would
a
probably,
cadaver.
That would probably be my best way of doing it. Like that's what I have the most knowledge about.
Yeah.
That most lay people at that time wouldn't know. So I would be able to like, I don't know, oversee a dissection and explain what the different organs were and did and all that stuff.
Yeah, I do think my brain's getting caught up between like, okay, you're transported 400 years in the past. How do you like make a life for yourself versus just the win condition is somebody believes you're from the future and then poof, you get to go back home.
Yeah, that's the win condition.
And if that's the win condition, I think you could overwhelm them with just random facts. They don't have to all hold together because your target is convincing another person. It's not like providing a rigorous proof of the future.
Just stress them out.
Yeah.
Talk about tectonic plates.
Yeah.
Right? And magma and stuff.
But wouldn't that all just be gibberish?
I knoweth not that word.
It's lava.
What say you, demon?
Yeah. I mean, of course, you're going to have to dumb it down and be like, listen.
But what I mean to say is, how is that any different than a person from the 1600s being like, on the other side of the water, the world falls off, and then being like, liar, right? And ended up being true.
But the threshold is convince a reasonable person, right? Like or is it?
Well, I don't know.
Yeah,
because even in today's day, you can't convince an unreasonable person that the world is round.
Mm-hmm.
That's so true. So no matter what, you're damned.
Yeah, right? You better figure out how you're going to make a life there, and Joe's already got it sorted, so the rest of us are on catch-up.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, here's a segue.
Should
we play some D&D?
Yeah, let's do it. Let's do it.
All right, guys, here we go. Top of the order. From the back, the dwarf demolitions expert pulls a couple of bombs off of his bandolier and lobs them over the chasm at Jack, Red, and Mari. So rude.
See, I'll be dead right first round. Don't even worry about it.
Yeah, don't even stress. Natural 20 against Jack.
Oh. Yeah.
Jesus. Jack, this bomb lobs up through the cavern and lands at your feet and then detonates. The smoke clears and Jack is gone.
What the hell?
I stumble backwards looking at my own body. Wait. In pieces around me, only to see those fade to realize that one's an illusion and I'm still alive, a heartbeat behind it, looking at Red like, oh shit.
Was I talking to you or that?
Oh, no, I think that was...
Jack, what the
wait,
hell?
It was an illusionary duplicate of myself I just
more
made.
More coming in!
Oh god.
Yeah, get out of the... Get down!
Mari, 15 to hit you.
It misses.
And uh-huh. Red.
Finally, that Iowan stone comes in handy.
The aim is true on the bomb, but as it approaches you, you just like swing your quarterstaff at it and like knock it down into the chasm and it explodes.
Oh, that's cool.
Cool.
I love that.
Ooh, natural one. Red?
Red grabs his, licks his fingers and puts it out. You're going to have to try harder than that, ugly.
It's like catching a bullet in the air.
Very good. Doran, it's your turn.
I think Doran, he yells back to Red and he says, Red, why don't you show these folks what an archer does?
On it, buddy! And Red aims at the one that looks most intimidating.
Well, there's two like soldier types.
Yeah.
And then there's one guy in heavy armor that looks like maybe... Well, he's got like religious insignia draped on him as well. Maybe like,
ooh, he's my target.
Yeah. And then there's like the bombardier.
No, I'll take him. Thank you very much. I will take the mage looking one.
And then there's like an earth elemental soldier.
Red attacks the one with the cross, the insignia, who he thinks is a mage.
Could just be some jewelry, guys.
I just don't, like...
So judgy.
Which dwarf died on a cross? I don't remember that story.
Yeah. You never heard of Jejus?
I don't know. I was just...
Yeah. Genus.
Dirt Jesus.
I love you, Dirt Jesus.
19 to hit.
It does.
Oh, wow.
Nice.
Dirt Jesus.
He tied for our sins.
26 damage.
Hey.
All right.
As the arrow sings across the chasm and sinks into the man's shoulder.
Yeah, your arrow sings true and he sort of stumbles backward a little bit.
Yeah. And with my second attack, Doran wields his axe, his mighty axe, orc splitter, and he attacks the guy right in front of him.
Marvelous. Roll to hit.
13 to hit.
Ooh.
Lucky.
It's your mother's life on the line here.
Yeah, and embarrassment. Yeah, sure. Let's use lucky.
And embarrassment.
Those things weigh equal amounts.
I'm more embarrassed.
Yeah.
Okay, that's better. A 27.
Hey!
Yeah.
That's going to be 10 points of slashing damage.
Your flurry of mad blows drives this dwarf almost off of the edge of the bridge. He dodges out of the way of the first blow, but then the second blow takes him across the shoulder. Next up, the dwarf that took an arrow from Red, this magey-looking motherfucker.
I mean, I called it!
If a mage would be wearing some serious armor.
Boo, no mage of mine.
Paladin.
This little mage of mine.
He begins to make these hand gestures. This dwarf in heavy armor grasps a pendant around his neck and then points at you, Doran, and misses with a 15.
Correct.
And then points at Mari with a 16.
That's right on.
Nice. Sorry. How dare you?
Not so nice for me.
That's 14 psychic damage.
Oh, my brain.
Psych.
And then as that damage is pulled out of your body, the arrow that was in his shoulder, Red, begins to just like, it kind of gets like squeezed out of his shoulder.
We got a healer.
Oh. He's a life sucker.
And then he moves forward kind of to beside where this bridge begins on his side. Next up, we have our lovely friend Mari.
Geek the Mage, Mari. Get that guy into the gully.
and she can feel like this pain in her head and this sort of like phantom pain in her shoulder. And she just looks, she can hear Red yelling, and she looks over at Jack and just sort of is like, I hope you know what you're doing after this. And she bends down and picks up like a small fistful of earth, and she grips it tight, and all of a sudden it disappears in her hand, and she slams her hand onto the ground. I'm casting Erupting Earth.
Hey.
Whoa. Right on the edge?
Yes. Is this the first time we've seen Erupting Earth?
I think so.
I think from Mari. Didn't the Thane use it against us?
That's what the Thane Probably. Was using to jut us up into the air on big...
Cool.
Yeah, so that's a 20-foot rectangle or square that I can block out there.
All right.
Oh, shit.
And I want all of them to give me a deck saving throw.
Excellent. All right. I'm going to start with the mundane soldier types.
Mundane soldier number one.
A 3 and a 13, I presume both fail.
They both fail.
Then we're going with this elemental soldier. Oh, that says 19. Excellent. And this mage type, and 21.
So when she slams her hand onto the ground, there's this moment of silence, and then all of a sudden this rumbling from the earth. Huge chunks of boulder have to shoot up from the ground beneath all of these soldiers on the other side, completely knocking them back and forth and smashing into them. So the two guys who failed take 26 damage.
Fuck yeah.
And the Whoa! Two that succeeded take 13. Plus nice. All of that is difficult terrain until cleared.
That's brilliant.
And if you're gonna try to clear it by hand, it's gonna take you some time.
Great job, Mari.
Way to go.
Yeah, these slabs of rocks and boulders pummel these dwarves and the elementals' bodies, taking great damage.
Grievous bodily harm as you get for throwing bombs at me.
All right, Jack.
Yeah.
Your turn.
Jack runs up onto the bridge behind Doran and reaches out with his mind, trying to make the magic circuits still connect, and he can still feel this force that he can reach out. He tries to yank that dwarven wizard off this crumbling terrain and into the chasm.
Ooh.
Can he make me a strength saving throw?
I'm going to try my best. 15.
15 will not do it. He moves 5 feet towards me and into the chasm, please.
Jack, you grasp your telekinetic tendrils into this creature's armor and pull, and his feet drag along this difficult terrain, his heels making twin divots in the shattered rubble of the rock, and you see sheer panic in his face as he is dragged above the abyss by your magic. And then with a scream that decreases very quickly in volume, he is pulled into the abyss.
So the Doppler
and
effect
disappears from sight.
That's what you get for starting a fight next to a chasm.
Okay, Doran, my brain's not completely broken. In your ring, that there's still maybe some of my magic there. Can you use that the thunder step to get us to the other side?
Yo, sure thing, buddy.
And Doran's like extra excited after watching you just, you know, drag that guy off the edge.
Jack dodges.
Cool. Next up, we have this earth elemental looking soldier.
Ooh.
Will he roll?
A 13.
Why does he get to go before me?
Because you rolled a 12.
Oh, I thought I rolled 13.
It's math. It's that math thing we were talking about earlier. It's come back to haunt us.
Memory, not math.
He's like, they're my favorite enemy. I add one to it.
In my defense, at this point, I have rolled every number for my initiatives over the years of playing D&D. I just didn't remember what this time was.
I wonder if that's true.
Probably is.
I wonder if that's true in the context of Dice Shame.
Probably. Someone go back and check that out. I'll send a prize to any fan who does that.
It's where we really need a wiki. Just somebody really keep...
This earth elemental soldier has a huge hammer in his hands, and he heaves it up above his head and then brings it down with such brute force on the ground right ahead of him that it makes a line of energy that shatters rock all the way across the gorge somehow magically. The laws of physics are... be damned.
Understood.
And these shards of rock
love it
rain up from the ground all the way towards Red-Handed Robin.
Those bedamned physics.
I thought he was going to destroy the bridge and kill two of our characters.
I mean, that would have been what we deserved.
Yeah.
That was a 23 to hit.
Oh, yeah, that hits. Oh.
25 bludgeoning damage.
Oof! Red goes flying back against the wall, smacks into the stone, and lands in a thud in the pile of stone at his feet. Oh, God damn it!
Red, you okay?
Yeah, of course.
He just hops up. He's fine.
The hell?
Then the creature slaps both of its hands on its chest, and its rocky skin gets bigger and harder and like more protected. He gets armor, skin armor.
Some of the, like stone skin.
Very cute.
Something cool.
Some sort of rock flesh. I don't know.
Red, it's your turn.
All right. Red stands up, dusting the pebbles off of his fur. That bridge doesn't look too safe. How fragile does that bridge look?
Does not look too safe.
One of those grenades would make Dorne and Jack fall. And Red pulls out one of his magic arrows, and I am going to attempt to fire a banishing arrow at the grenadier. Because one round without grenades might save these two lives. Might save these two's lives.
That's right, but it also doesn't sound right.
Correct.
Yeah, no, there's...
Sounds weird, right? Might save the lives of these two.
There you go.
Go with that.
Or their lives. Yeah.
Both of their lives.
Whatever.
The lives of these two guys.
I had it. Everyone shut up. I got it right.
These guys' lives?
These guys' lives.
The arrow sings right past Doran's like braid, like his hair moves in the wind. This grenadier needs to make a charisma saving throw.
Okay.
Hopefully he's not very charismatic. He doesn't look it.
Ouch.
How do you know I'm not charismatic?
Big ouch. 13.
Failure.
Ooh.
As that arrow hits his shoulder, you don't hear the sound of the arrow hit. Instead, you hear a vacuum-like as he disappears from sight and is banished for one round. At the end of his next turn, he will reappear in that space, but for now, he's gone. Hopefully that'll give you a bit of breathing room, boys. And for my second attack, I'm going to shoot the guy in front of Doran.
Excellent.
They've already acted, right?
No, they have not.
Well, they haven't.
No, oh, they are nice. 9 in initiative.
Perfect. Mm-hmm. And Doran has hurt him, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
This is a best case scenario for you.
Best case scenario. 19 to hit.
Hey.
You hit.
35 damage.
What does it look like when you kill this dwarf?
The arrow, again, makes Doran's braid just move ever so slightly. And Doran, turning after he saw the first arrow go by, like turned his head slightly, and as the arrow passes, it just shreds a little bit of his hair, like his really famous braid. He doesn't realize it yet, but he will after combat. And the arrow goes right by his face and sinks into this guy's neck as blood starts squirting onto Doran's forehead from this guy's neck. He falls to his knees in front of Doran and then collapses on the bridge as his blood drips echoing down the deep chasm. Got him for ya!
That's a little too close, Red.
Well, next time, don't turn your head.
Right.
Look, I know how to kill. You just let me kill.
Next up, we have the remaining dwarven soldier. Although it is difficult terrain, he's able to make it over to take the place of his fallen companion, raises his battle axe high above his head, and swings at the bridge.
Oh, shit.
You really want to do that, eh?
You don't quite have time to utter those words, Doran, before the rope and wood of the bridge are severed from their posts and you begin to fall. Doran and Jack, I want you both to make dexterity saving throws to hold on to the slats of the bridge as you are untethered.
I think it's more important to hold on to Doran than the bridge.
Sure, that can be your thing.
That's my that's my play.
I want to hug him.
Great idea.
Hey, 20.
Natural?
Very well done.
No.
Oh, because I rolled a natural 20.
Oh! Hey!
So that makes me a 22.
With a dull thud, your body's hit the opposite side of the gorge as you swing down. You succeed in maintaining your grasp, tenuous as it may be.
As Doran grabs on perfectly with his
natural 20. Jack slips for a second and then just wraps his hand around Doran's neck and is like around him like a backpack.
Mm-hmm. Perfect.
Don't drop me.
You just hold on to me, Jack.
Dangling into space by his noodle arms. But I got you, Doran.
Yeah.
No, you got me. That's just get us out of here.
No, I've got the wall. You just hold on
Call
to me.
Call him Daddy, Jack. It helps, Doran.
And then seeing Jack and Doran plummet out of sight, Alistair yells, "Doran, no!" And then he grows in size to become giant Alistair.
Whoa! What?
Big boy.
Yes. He looks at his arms almost, he's like the Hulk, I guess. He's like feeling protective of Doran and scared that he might lose some of the only people that he knows in this world and know his true form. His limbs grow. He just gets taller and taller. Murray, look behind you as you see Alistair shredding through his shirt, muscles rippling, and he begins to run towards the bridge. Jack, Doran, you look up to see the giant face of Alistair peer over the edge of the chasm at you, his huge features creased in worry.
Holy crap! Whoa, Alistair!
Did not expect that.
Did you get so big?
You think he was always big?
Call back.
He was a giant in disguise all along.
Oh my God.
That's right.
He was a giant in disguise all along.
It's the demo expert's turn. He pops back into existence. Just absolutely covered in cherry pie filling from whatever plane of existence he was banished to. I guess the plane of pie.
Plane of pie.
Yeah. Just dripping with it. Doran, it is your turn.
Doran, can you see a spot to Thunderstep too?
Well, no, it doesn't seem to be working because I can't really see the ground where we need to go.
Absolutely, you can just see the ceiling of the cavern.
Maybe I should just climb up first, because if I put us up there, then we're gonna fall really far.
Yeah.
Let me just.
So you want to climb with Backpack Jack?
Yeah.
I just wanted to say Backpack
Jack. Jack backpack.
Jackpack.
The jackpack.
Hold on, jackpack.
The tactical jackpack.
I see. I was going to go tactical Rob Bag, but.
Oh, no.
Rob Bag.
Just a Jack Rob. That's all. I was trying to find something, but in the tactical was the word.
Is the Rob Bag a thing?
No.
I don't get it.
No, I got nothing. I got no things.
It's Duffel Rob.
Moving on.
Okay. Just hold on. And okay. He climbs up the side of the bridge. Just hold on. I'm going to scoot out of the way so we don't injure our friend. Give me 1 second, Alistair. We'll be right back. I'm going to go across the other side.
Don't go too close to him. I'm going to try something explosive.
All right.
And Doran looks at the dwarf across, and he kind of gives him a wink, and he goes, "Watch this." They both explode, and Thundersteps with a crack of thunder and appear about 25 feet from where the other side of the bridge was.
So you're on the north side now. You're 10 feet away from this demolitions expert. The dude whose turn it was supposed to be is at the bottom of the abyss, so we're not going to stress about him too much anymore. Mari, what do you do? It's your turn.
When she saw this one dwarf cut the rope and then saw Jack and Doran just disappear, her heart just stops for a minute. Mm-hmm. And it only kind of kicks back in when she hears Doran be like, "It's fine. I'll carry him up," or whatever it was he was saying.
He's not heavy. He's my brother.
Exactly. Nice. And now is also trying to wrap her head around giant Alistair.
We just call him Jellister.
Everyone's favorite version.
Jellister. He's a real big boy.
All right, what do you do?
She sees this dwarf across the way, and she doesn't even say anything. She just feels the magic crackling in her hand, and she goes to cast Guiding Bolts, just this moment of pure anger that starts to spill out.
Oh, mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, I rolled a 21.
That'll do it.
17 points of damage.
Yeah.
Well done, Mari.
She just hurls it across the way.
Mm-hmm.
And it just lights him up. And also, Red, if you want to take him out, now you have advantage.
Okay.
It's Jack's turn. Mr. Jack.
Jack uses 5 feet of his movement to get within 10 feet of this dwarven grenadier.
He's about 4 feet tall. He's got red hair. His beard is made into 2 braids, one of which sort of is fashioned to support a bandolier of grenades that runs across his front. He's also got this contraption attached to his back, this like wooden contraption that looks kind of like catapult-esque.
Mm-hmm. Jack unfurls himself from around Doran and steps 5 feet closer to this grenadier and pulls out this glowing red gem with the opal of the Ildrund in it and holds it out towards the guy and channels his energy into it to ignite the bandolier full of bombs around him and then starts to run in the opposite direction. Doran, get out of here!
Ooh! Ooh, but now that's a different argument.
Mm-hmm.
Do these blow up before you get to move?
I'm sure they're involved. That's the intention. You rule it as you would. Jack would light it on fire and then run because he's not an idiot and he's lighting a fire.
Jack, this spark of magic ignites the bandolier and you just see this dwarf's face go absolutely fucking white. Jack and Doran, I need you both to make a dexterity saving throw. Additionally, I'm going to have the earth elemental make a dexterity saving throw and the dwarf soldier that is on the same side.
And the cavern.
And everyone in existence.
The whole mountain collapses down on top of us.
So, Scarborough was quiet that day.
That's right.
Everyone on this map, get fucked.
Mechanically, I'm going within a 20-foot radius sphere for this explosion.
It's not my smartest move, probably.
It's 2 fails from our enemies, NPCs. Jack and Doran, what are your dexterity saves?
17.
You fail.
Okay.
Oh, then I also fail. Oh,
okay. A fiery explosion erupts from across the chasm. Red, Mari, and Ellister, you both feel the heat on your faces as it just explodes.
What the fuck is he doing?
Everyone takes 43 fire damage.
Oh my god.
That's awesome.
Additionally,
oh boy.
Damage from the Demolition Expert's spell attacks ignore any target's damage resistances.
All right.
So I don't know if you're resistant to fire damage or if anyone is,
Red
but...
is. I am, but no one over there.
You're not dead, are you?
No, I'm. I don't love that. Jack? That's no. Not a good news
I'd
for me.
Not.
I think Jack went on a suicide run.
The dwarven soldier is immolated. Additionally, everyone is pushed 5 feet away from that explosion and lands prone.
Yeah.
Doran, you are pushed 5 feet away from the center of this explosion, almost falling into the chasm.
Whoa.
As he's teetering over, Jack reaches out with his mind again and pulls Doran 5 feet towards him.
What the hell was that?
I use half my movement to stand up and say, "We're Red's Rovers. We got nothing to lose, man."
What is he yelling over there? Oh, God.
Red, what is going on over there?
I don't know. I looked at him before the whole battle, and I said I would help him, and then he blew up in front of me, and then he was a different version behind him, and now he went across and blew up again.
He's blown up twice.
So why don't you tell us Gautier's whole plan if you want a second to live longer? Because you're heavily outnumbered. We just tossed half your people down that cavern. You got nothing left. Surrender now. It's your only chance. I don't have time for your shit anymore. His mom's dying. He hasn't seen her in 25 years. Can you hold
30 years.
30 years. He had brothers, you know. You probably knew him. He tossed them down a cavern too, I heard.
Oh, no, too dark. No, darn, he didn't mean that one. Darn, he didn't mean that.
So why don't you tell us your name and let's move forward.
Rob, why don't you roll intimidation for me here?
Can I have advantage?
If you want to use your inspiration.
I do want to use my inspiration.
Do it. That was inspiring. Right. I felt very, that was very enthusiastic.
But I love that he brought up your brothers because they got lost in a cave and he's like, and he threw them into the fucking chasm. But like in Doran's mind, his poor brothers got lost and he blames himself for it. That's like you know, accidentally killing your cousin and then you being like, and he fucking killed his cousin.
Jack's ears are ringing a little bit. He's not thinking straight. I got a 20 intimidation.
Ooh. Fuck yeah,
wow.
You did.
I got 2 20s.
Oh my god.
Aww, well, then it doubly works. The dwarf raises a shaking hand to his blackened bandolier. unbuckles the clasp and lets it fall to the ground in a gesture of surrender. And then he holds up his hands to you.
Listen, Jack, I don't want any fucking trouble from the likes of you. So keep your magic shit to yourself.
Well, you haven't even seen my magic. It's going crazy right now.
Okay, I get it. You're crazy powerful. Listen, I don't want trouble from Gautier either. You don't know him. He's off the deep end. He just told us to go and clear your bodies out of the cavern. And if there was any left of you, to finish you off.
What's he got on you? Just money?
Yeah, money. Power. He holds a lot of sway in Scarborough.
Well, Doran Ironfist back in town. You let people know.
Oh, I'm not going back to fucking Scarborough after I let you guys waltz back in there.
Oh, yes, you are. You're gonna take us there yourself. You're gonna lead the way.
That's not part of the deal, man. I'm gonna let you go. I'm not gonna cause any more trouble for you.
Oh, then you wanna go over the edge of the
I'm
abyss,
gonna go fighting if that's how you want it.
Take him out, Jack, with your magic.
What are you? Hold on.
Bluff, return, serve.
Yes.
Just get out of here. Go. Run.
And then he picks up and heads out. And the Earth Elemental Soldier just kind of shrugs. Uh-huh. And sort of like he kicks a rock into the chasm and just watches it bounce down and then walks away.
Bye, new friend. Oh, I would have liked him. He would have loved Shale.
I've always wanted to be free.
Oh, if you want a friend, I'm staying at Gautier's house.
I love that you assume that you're still living there.
Red walks over to Alistair and takes his giant hand in his hand and he's like,
hey, buddy, you're big now.
I don't know what the fuck this body just keeps throwing me curveballs here.
And he like, whoop, 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 goes back down to the other side.
Whoa.
Oh.
Hey, that's pretty nifty.
I
guess it's just only when you're angry, scared, worked up, hungry.
Oh, like the Incredible Hulk.
What, the Incredible
Hulk?
That's
a story from Mazdica.
I've never heard that one.
I don't know. When I saw Jack and Doran go over the edge, I had this feeling like, I don't know, like I was going to die or something.
Well, hey, you know, Duragars probably have that as an ability.
Anxiety?
Sort of half-elves, I think.
Well, that too. But, like, you know, me being a clever little foxy boy, I get to move really fast. And Mari being a water genasi means she's wet all the time. So maybe growing is one of your Duragar things.
Yeah. Well, I'm just glad there's another bridge over here.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, yeah, it's cool to learn new stuff about myself.
All right, well, let's go get the others and head on to Scarborough. There's no time to waste.
Yeah.
Sorry, Doran. I was a little reckless there, maybe.
Jack, I'm not sure if that was intentional or because you've been cursed by that damn puzzle box, but you are one crazy motherfucker. That was just nuts.
Yeah, Jack kind of collapses onto his ass now that the threat is left and the realization of how much blood he's lost and like shock he's in from being in that caliber of explosion kind of washes over him.
Significant.
Blistered and burnt and crispy.
Yeah, Doran, I admit I didn't think it all the way through. I'd hoped I'd have some time to run.
Yeah.
I feel like Red and Mari and Alistair catch up to you two and Red claps you on the back.
Oh! Now you're doing it right. Act without thinking, see?
Sorry.
My hand's all bloody now. Damn it.
Yeah, Okay. Sorry.
I just want to say thank you.
Look, there's no time to waste. Let's get on to Doreen's. We got to get to Scarborough.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
We got to make sure your mother is safe. Come on, everyone! And Red runs in the direction of Scarborough.
Timmy got a healing potion?
Thank you to our wonderful patrons, Adam Fry, Afflicted Adina, Aizu Yukai, Allison Wrights, Merlin, Anne, Atholagoth, Axel, Barry Jennett, Casey, Cecil Lee Wilson, Sherry Rose Anderson, Christopher, Colin Burkhart, Crow, Daniel, Dippity, Flynn, Gareth Bradshaw, Haley, Hop of the Mox, JD, Joy Robinson, Julie Holderman, Jory, K.R., K.M., Cade, Lasagna, Last Ruth on the left, Leader J, Liz, Lorelei Feldman, Manda Pants, Merrick Smoon, Matilda Rushing, Melinda Curley, Moon, Oakland, Quill Bennett, Regan, Wren, Scotty, Shannon Waldner, S-Ray 96, Tegan, Tea Kettle, Tony Pepperoni, Trin, Waffle 427, Xander Morning Dove, Zach House, and Zephyrus. Thank you so much! Woo!
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, marketers, advertisers, and business owners. Find yourself chatting up the same audience in the same places, using the same old lines? Maybe it's time to podcast the net further to catch your next customer. With Acast, there's plenty of fish in the sea with more than 100,000 podcasts and millions of listeners. So there's a perfect match for every business. Use our ad platform to cast your net, then narrow down using targeting such as demographic, show categories, audience segments, and more. Find your match, then reel them in. Advertise on more than 100,000 podcasts with Acast. Head to go.acast.com/closer to get started.